When I was 7 years old, I thought I had figured something out. This whole Christmas thing, this whole Santa Claus. Even at this age, a good Catholic altar boy, I had some doubts about the parentally imposed fantasies. And I decided that I was going to kind of test the whole Santa Claus thing out a little bit. So I was a very good boy all year. And, of course, you know, I also had to, the whole confession thing was coming up, so I didn't want to burn in hell forever, so I was watching my little mouth. And masturbation, that wasn't even an issue at this point. So I was doing well. I had, you know, everything going for me as far as behavior was concerned. I knew Santa had been watching me all year, so I was going to cash in. I was going to cash in on my compliance, following directions, being polite in school. And what I was going to get as a seven-year-old, maybe a seven or eight, whatever, was an ATV, all-terrain vehicle, a four-wheeler. This is something that usually adults have. But because it was being made by the magic of Santa Claus, I also requested on my Christmas wish list that I would hand to my parents, and then, I don't know, they would mail it. I don't remember how that went. That it be fitted with the same technology as Kit, the car from Knight Rider. Knight Rider was a show about this guy. I don't know what he did. It was played by the guy David Hasselhoff, the guy from Baywatch, and he had this car. And he would, I guess, he was a good guy, and they would solve crimes and problems. But the car could talk. It was pretty much sentient. He could call it from like a wristwatch thing that he had, and it would come to him. It would help him out. So I wanted a four wheeler that could do all this. I don't know what I was going to use it for, but I thought that was very cool. And, of course, very realistic when you have a magical man who hand makes all of the presents. You know, even if they come in like a box from Toys R Us that I had seen a week before, that was the magic of Santa.
So why can't I submit specs for a special project? Is that crazy?
Yeah, I think that kind of put a lot of pressure on my parents. Well, my parents did it to themselves, right? And this is a debate. I have two brothers who are younger than me, but they both have young children. And this whole Santa Claus thing has been a debate between the three of us. We're not debating the existence of Santa Claus. We're debating whether or not they should tell their kids that there is no Santa Claus. And I think they should.
And we're going to talk about that on the show today, where you're also going to hear me have sympathy for a public school teacher
who told a second grade class, when asked,
the kids asked,
the teacher just told the truth. No, that's not real. Hey, you know what? Good.
I think it's terrible. I don't think she has any right to say something like that.
Some of the parents at George Miller Elementary School in Nanuet say one of the teachers here is a real Scrooge. They say she told her second grade class that Santa Claus isn't real.
It's sad that children that young would already not have that magical belief that's so fun at Christmas time.
I think it was very upsetting.
Now, we're told that she was teaching geography class when the seven-year-old said they knew about the North Pole because that's where Santa Claus lives. Well, the teacher then told them that there is no Santa and that it's their parents who buy them presents at Christmas.
What went through your head when you first heard it?
I don't want to send my kids to public school.
Now, I think it's fair to say that it's maybe not the teacher's place, and maybe this could be considered an interference into the home life, a teacher undermining the wishes of parents. So, I don't know, maybe a more appropriate response if the teacher had some time to think about it. Well, that's something that you should discuss with your parents. I think that would have been my number one choice. Or the teacher could have said, I don't know, but that's a lie. So she answered the question honestly. And this happened in Nanuet, New York. And the story is from the New York Post. Ooh, are you familiar with the New York Post? Not a good newspaper. It is a real rag, as they say. I might even want to look at this story from a couple different viewpoints, because New York Post is part of the whole News Corp Rupert Murdoch thing, and it has a pretty conservative slant. Conservatives love fantasies almost as much, but maybe more than liberals, depending on what issue you're talking about. So they're pretty harsh on this teacher. And not a good newspaper here. Not a good newspaper. Let's look at their reporting. Title, Teacher Tells Students There Is No Santa Claus. Even the Grinch wouldn't be this mean. A sourpuss teacher in Rockland County ruined Christmas for a class full of second graders this week when she told them there is no Santa Claus during a lesson about the North Pole. Of all things. The evil educator even told the youngsters, mostly 7 and 8-year-olds, the presents under their trees were put there by their parents and not Saint Nick. The stunning, Scrooge-like behavior has caused a blizzard of outrage at the quiet George W. Miller Elementary School in Nanuet, where angry parents would like to see the teacher roasted like a chestnut over an open fire. This is a real newspaper. Quote, "If that happened to my daughter in her second grade class, I'd be very upset," said Sean Flanagan, 48, whose child was in the second grade at the school last year. "If her brothers told her there was no Santa, they would be punished. So I can't imagine what should happen to the teacher." A nanny picking up a child at the school yesterday told the Post that anyone who tells kids that Santa doesn't exist should get coal in her stocking. Not even quoted, they just couldn't resist. Quote, "It's outrageous that a teacher would strip a child of their innocence and try to demystify something," said Margaret Fernandez, 59. "How dare a teacher try to demystify something?" A grandmother of a kindergartner said, "I think this is awful. If it happened to my granddaughter, I'd tell her the teacher made a mistake and there is a Santa," she added. The unidentified teacher reportedly made her anti-Santa comments Tuesday during a geography lesson, when students told her they knew where the North Pole was because that's where Santa lives. Yesterday, school officials wouldn't discuss the Christmas incident or say if the teacher would face any discipline. District Superintendent Mark McNeil released a brief statement saying only this matter is being addressed internally. Holy shit. Listen to this. Next paragraph. One Christmas official was commenting on the record yesterday. Santa himself. Quote,
"When I read what happened at the school, I had an opinion that I didn't feel would be printable," said a still jolly Saint Nick, who was posing for pictures with kids at the Palisades Mall. "I do feel it is unfortunate that this teacher has lost the spirit of Christmas in her heart. It is important to keep that spirit alive so that Santa can be real for everyone."
The teacher's attempt to slay... Oh, they just don't give up. The teacher's attempt to slay Santa, spelled like sleigh, like the thing you ride on in the snow, like Santa rides in through space, even got a reaction from the granddaughter of Virginia Ohanian, whose famous 1897 letter to the New York Sun asking if Santa was real drew the legendary response, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus." Quote, "My grandmother was a teacher for years, and I don't think she ever had a problem answering that Santa question," Mary Blair, 69, told the Post. "The most real things in the world are the things you don't see or touch." Let me make sure I read that right. "The most real things in the world are the things that you don't see or touch." Yep, she added. "And they are the things that mean the most. Love, kindness, and generosity." The end. Now, again, like I said, complicated stuff. Complicated stuff over something so silly. So the article from the New York Post was reposted on the Huffington Post, which has more of a liberal viewpoint, and there was a lot of disapproving comments there as well. No one really seemed to be getting at the root of this issue, though, that it might not be the teacher's place to interfere with the home life of a child or undermine the wishes of a parent. And that, I think, speaks volumes about our culture, where people have to walk on eggshells around this fantasy. But this fantasy is kind of an important one, isn't it? Kids are born anarchists and atheists. What happens after that? Society, culture, family, school, church. That gets ruined for a long time, if not permanently. Santa is first. Santa, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, they're easy because they're fun and likable. You even to tell a 4 or 5 year old about the idea of God, you need some kind of a template for that. And Santa seems to accomplish that. I don't think, I mean, the fun and the imagination of a child, all the excitement of Christmas, I think that could still be accomplished without this deception. A parent, you know, and I'm not a parent, so I have to, you know, I always need to keep saying that and reminding myself. I don't know how difficult this is and what the social pressures are and what would it be like to just say to, you know, your child, okay, when you're 3, you got to keep this secret from the other kids because I don't want the other parents of the kids that you play with to be mad at me for telling you, but that's too complicated. I understand the pickle of this situation. Oh, but some honest dialogue with a very young child, I think, is entirely possible, where you say, you know, for a long time, there's been this tradition and it's fun and it's harmless. You know, certainly a lot of the traditions that still exist in the world are completely retarded and in many cases psychologically destructive, but this isn't one of those. If you realize that it's just a story, that it's kind of just a game, no one gets hurt. And we're going to do it. I mean, I'm going to put on this suit. I'm going to talk in this jolly voice. And it's going to be very merry. And I think that all the fun and excitement and hope and joy could still be accomplished. Because I don't think Santa is harmless. Santa as reality is harmless for everybody. He gives you stuff because you're good. So has anyone ever done any kind of comparison between Santa's behavior reports and parental income? You know, it reminds me of a story. When I was growing up, my family was very wealthy. And when my youngest brother was just a little boy, my father was 36 or 37, and he was thinking about retiring. I mean, he had college money set aside for all 3 of us. Granted, in the 80s, that probably was only like $30,000. Today, it would be $300,000. But, you know, I think my brother, in his younger years, experienced Christmas as this very opulent and plentiful experience. So my father, feeling like he had a sort of entrepreneurial prowess, decided that instead of retiring, he was going to buy another company, a company that was distressed, and try to fix it up. The company made printed circuit boards. Long story short, 5 years later, my family was bankrupt. And things were very tight, obviously, and Christmas changed. Now, at this point, I was old enough to know. And I think my youngest brother probably, that was maybe a real challenge for my parents to explain that to him. And I don't remember all of the details, but I have to think that, you know, for a child who lives in poverty, being told, you know, at school and through culture and through society that there's this guy who spends all year making shit for kids who are good, you know, what's the message there? When he has a parent who really can't afford to buy him anything comparable to what some of the other kids at school get for Christmas. But I think given the current economic crisis in this country, that that kind of situation is becoming more and more common for more and more people. And, you know, I just followed this whole Black Friday thing in the news, people trampling each other to death and punching each other in the face to get deals on presents, to just be able to meet the unnecessary expectations of their children that they as parents created for no reason without even thinking. Like, if I was a parent, I think I would want to alleviate some of this pressure if I was in, you know, a desperate financial situation. And this would be a good learning opportunity to have a conversation about reality with a child, about living within your means. That's not the direction that any of this seems to be going. And I mean, this Santa thing, an omniscient guy who watches you all year long and then delivers justice on Christmas. You've been good, he's got presents, but you've been bad. Maybe he's got some coal. Do they still tell kids that? Powerful enough to travel all over the world, ready to give free stuff to those who spent all year obeying. I don't think this is good. I think this is dangerous. These are, like, really crucial, really formative years in a young child's mind. I don't think they should be fed the idea that such an entity is even possible. But, you know, going back to society and culture, Santa, such an important template. Never seen, never heard, never felt, never smelt. Just believe. Everybody else believes. From Santa we go to God. From God, oh, so easy, we go to the state. But, I mean, that's not even the real issue here for me. You know, I was thinking about this, and of course, yeah, I understand the intrusion into the home. I totally understand that. And that's an issue. That's a problem. You know, I think teachers need to know their place because there's lots of far more dangerous and destructive ways of intruding into the personal lives of students and families than this. When I first heard this story, I was like, man, how often at this age, 7 or 8 years old, how often does the curiosity of a child in school get rewarded with respect and honesty? I'm not saying that it never happens, but I think we can all agree that it's certainly not like par for the course. You know, I think my brother, who has 2 kids, and their grandmother, not my mother, their other grandmother, anyway, this woman is a born-again Christian. She's not really, there's no tie between our family and theirs anymore. And boy, she filled these kids' heads with a lot of crazy crap. And I mean, I didn't even know how crazy these people were until I heard some of the things, especially his youngest, who is barely 5, has said at, you know, the dinner table or questions she's asked. And, boy, that's real tragic to, like, use a child like that as a mirror. Like, you kind of know that you're just have this empty house of cards belief system, but you feed that to a child and have them repeat it back to you. Maybe that normalizes it. Maybe it makes it feel less crazy. I don't know. But, I think he's done a really good job with the necessary intervention, getting these kids away from church. The older of the 2 children watched the movie, I guess the first part of the movie Zeitgeist, which obviously is not, ironclad fact, but it's certainly a different version of the story than you get in a born-again Christian church. You know, there's so many times I've watched parents tell things to children where I just wanted to rescue them. You know, I mean, not like take them away, like kidnap them from their parents, but rescue them from the insanity of religion and culture and patriotism. And it's tough because I know it's not my place. And I think, you know, if I was in that situation, like I said at the beginning of the show, I will express sympathy for this teacher. I can't totally be on her side, obviously, because the intrusion is a real problem. I know I keep saying that and saying that and saying that. Tough one here. But I know for about 15 minutes now, you've had, all of you, a very pressing question on your minds. And I'm going to answer it now. No. No, I did not get an ATV with all the powers of Kit from Knight Rider with a wristwatch through which I could control it for Christmas when I was 7 or 8 years old. Didn't happen. I was heartbroken. I don't understand why parents, I mean, if you just kind of reason through the whole Santa thing, my parents could have alleviated so much stress and pressure and expectation. A magical man who makes toys. Damn, the sky has got to be the limit. If I was a parent, I would, you know, maybe this is insensitive. And again, I already told you, I'm not a parent. What is the level of appreciation that a child should have for a gift that's made through some kind of magical process by a man who can deliver these gifts to every child on planet Earth in one night? I mean, the one thing that I admired about this teacher is it seems so antithetical to one of the most important messages that's being continuously pushed by an organization of which she's a part, which is the teachers union. And the whole larger idea that the schools and the teachers and the unions push, you know, this big government, Keynesian economics, democratic socialism. Be good and you'll get stuff. You know, we're public servants, so obviously what we're doing is good. Oh, we're making sacrifices, shoulders to the wheel for the common good. We're good. How dare you suggest that we shouldn't have things? How dare you, heartless maniac, suggest that anything that's been bestowed upon us should be taken away? Why should people work harder? Why should people try to be innovative? Why should people respond to market signals and incentives? They should just get shit for free through some kind of magical process. The largesse of a magical entity that is omnipotent and omniscient. I don't understand why they're not teaching about Santa Claus in, like, the economics department at NYU. By the way, this came out a couple days ago. The teacher was forced to apologize to each and every parent in that second grade class, one by one, over the phone. Because, after all, what kind of a society would we live in if people started acting like the curiosity of and respect for children were higher priorities than the convenience of adults?
So you, I mean, this is an interesting way to negotiate a loan, wouldn't you say? I mean, You're asking us to be your lender. You're asking the United States of America to be your lender. I'm just saying to you.
We need financial aid, and we need it now, or else Christmas, as we know it, flat out will not happen.
How much?
That's the tricky part. What really gets us into this position was the tech gift these kids want now. You really think a bunch of elves who are used to whittling baseball bats can reverse engineer an iPod, figure it out, and then build 700 million of them?
I don't quite understand what the hell you just told me. Can you just tell me in absolute terms, how much money do you need to survive?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, they actually do one thing.
$25 billion.
Okay. $25 billion, Mr. Chairman.
How did you reach the $25 billion figure for this particular request?
We account for an average of 5.5 gifts per child per household, and then double out if the parents miss a pop one, a football game or two.
Why $25 billion? I mean, why not 26?
Right. Well, I personally would feel awkward asking for $26 billion. That would be ridiculous, but $25 billion really is quite reasonable.
When you mentioned the union side, will that mean what, pensions?
Now, I try to argue that the workers who can't die and thus won't retire shouldn't have pensions. But breaking the elf union is like eating a glass sandwich. The only time I ever get a break is if one of my long-tenured toy makers falls into a smelting machine and I can replace him at a base rate.
Hey.
There's a
delicious irony in seeing private luxury jets flying in to Washington, D.C.
Sir, I take a sled to work every single day, every single year. And that thing couldn't be greener if it ran on soybeans and baby farts.
I would hope that you would respond for the record whether you expect to get any bailout money from Ottawa or Mexico City.
I would like to show you something, sir. I have a list of Christmas requests from Mexico, from boys and girls in Mexico. Here. Football. 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 Clean water. For the Tijuana drug cartel to return my little brother. I mean, these are simple things, gentlemen. These are simple things. Do you know what your son has requested for this Christmas? He wants a 52-inch plasma TV screen. Sure, that'll be easy to make. Two Xboxes. Yeah, why not? An owl robot, a luxury box at FedEx Field, a flying Audi, a guest appearance on How I Met Your Mother. He wants his own letter of the alphabet. And he wants for Subway to stop the $5 foot-long ads. Sir, I mean, this is insanity. I mean, it used to be, you know, a baseball mitt and a puppy. Now it's gold-plated UGG boots. It's killing us up there, sir. It's killing us up there.
It's been intimated here that if you don't get this money, then you would file for bankruptcy. So what's the state of your preparations for bankruptcy?
Sir, I think we can all agree that bankruptcy would be unacceptable. I mean, when you consider the Santa stories grounded on my wedging myself down every chimney in the world in one night, it's already kind of stretching the believability department. And if you throw in the fact that Santa has filed for bankruptcy, I mean, we're going to lose 60% to 70% of our total belief numbers worldwide. Suddenly, no one believes in Santa Claus, and they start asking mom and dad why they sleep in separate beds.
There's 7 seconds left for the response.
You want to throw me out? Throw me out. I hope you can return your tree, because I'm not going to put anything under it, except maybe some elf dunk. Try getting that out of your carpet. It's like napalm.
The hearing is now ready to move on to the next phase. The witnesses are excused.